Hello, SFL Nation. I'm Brian Craven, and this is another edition of Coach's Corner and Prospect Profiles. I have two great interviews for you tonight, so sit back and relax. One of them kind of long because it's so good. Grab your snacks. We'll be right back in a minute. And we're back with another prospect profile. I'm Brian Craven, and this is Coach's Corner. And today I have Ross Napoli, someone I know very well, as he's been playing for me and helping me with the coaching staff all season with the San Jose Flight. Ross, why don't you say hello and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for having me on tonight. I really appreciate that. And, well, obviously Ross Napoli is my real name. And, you know, been joined the league in April. Only been here a couple of months, but dove right in. Obviously, as you know, you gave me a great opportunity with the flight to come in and assist in a form of scouting. And, you know, we've got a great locker room, and I've involved myself in a bunch of stuff with the beat team and the stats team and helping out some broadcast teams. And I'm real excited and really looking forward to the draft and becoming a pro in the SFL.
Awesome. Yeah, that phrase about dipping your toe in the water doesn't apply to you. You dove in head first.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. How did you know so quickly that you wanted to be part of it, that you wanted to do all of that stuff? Is that just your nature, or was there something about us, the league, that you said, okay, yep, I know I want to do this?
Well, I think it was a little of both. You know, I'm 45. I've coached, you know, I've coached my kids, and I'm an analytical guy. I love the, you know, I love the sport, and I love everything about football, even outside of playing it. You know, I love the coaching, I love the building, I love stuff. So when I came across this league last August on DirecTV, I was kind of like, you know, what's going on here? I don't, you know, never seen anything like this before. So when I researched it and I saw what it was, I was like, wow, this is, you know, pretty intriguing. But, you know, life goes on and everything, you know, keeps going. And it kind of was like out of sight, out of mind. When all of this was going on with the virus and all of this stuff, I actually was flipping the sports channels again, and I came across the league again while you guys were in the midst of the playoffs.
Okay.
And I really said, you want to know what? It's time for me to really look into this again, because this is a perfect opportunity to get involved. So once I saw what the league was all about and how it's basically just like being involved in a, you know, real life football league in every aspect except affecting the game because it's a simmed player. That's what I really wanted to be part of, because I love the idea of game planning and you know, trying to find the right players to build the team and to, you know, help build their value a little at a time. You know, everybody's not walking in like they're superstars, and it's just you know, it's just a thrown together league with a whole bunch of guys that are, you know, all maybe basically ranked the same. So when I saw that this was actually to build, you know, like in real life, I knew this is what I wanted to be part of.
Yeah. Well, and then were you surprised when you got in at all the other things that are available?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. You know, I mean, when I started following just a lot of the chat that was going on, and like I said, once I got involved with like the B team and the stats team, and then opening up those streams and those channels, and then seeing what those guys were doing, and you know, then I was asked to, you know, to write the article. So I wrote the recap article for the championship game, and then I was asked to you know, do an interview with someone. So I ended up doing the article about Jacob Brouvet becoming the owner in Portland.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, once I started realizing that these were even outside opportunities, now that's not even anything parting to, you know, to do with the game, but just, you know, basically being a beat writer and interviewing people. And I was like, wow, I mean, there's just so many aspects of this league that you definitely don't know even when you're researching it and you're getting involved. Because I knew nothing of a beat team or a stats team even when I saw this. You know, everybody's just concerned about being a player.
Yeah. I remember one of my buddies who is actually in the draft and going to be joining a team. When I told him about this early on, I just mentioned it, and he heard it and he listened, but he didn't really process, you know, like me sometimes. And I said something about the SFL to him later, and he said, I didn't say SFL. I don't remember what I said, but the football. And I go, yeah, nerd football. And that was kind of our joke. I was calling it nerd football for a while. Part of it being that he always calls me a football nerd because I was always talking about football before I even was doing this. But I remember saying to him, they've got people doing podcasts on this thing. And I had just been on Ashley's show, or Kramer's show. I don't remember which one. I said, you believe people, they've got people doing podcasts and people are listening to this. And here I am doing a podcast, which you would not, there's no way I would have believed I'd be doing that. And here I am and I'm doing one. So
yeah,
it's really amazing. It's one of those things. It's like, be careful. You set your foot in that boat and you're going for a ride because there's so much to do.
Without a doubt. And there's a lot of aspects of even the things that, you know, I've mentioned or that you're talking about that unless you're involved in those things, you don't understand just how in-depth those things are.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I wanted to get into broadcasting here because I'm sure, as you know from you and I of developing a relationship, people listening today, and I love to talk. I could keep going, you know. So I thought, hey, you know, broadcasting would be great. And due to some technical issues with the equipment that I have, I couldn't do that. But then I was directed to, hey, if you still want to be part of it, you can go to the stats team. So I said, yeah, sure, you know, let me try that out. To be in that stream, for guys in this league who don't understand what those stats guys do, to actually view it as, you know, because I shadowed and I watch, you know, the in-depth sheets that get filled out play by play, three screens going at the same time in the different programs, you know, that the league uses, that it's all happening, that, you know, you got to realize that what you're seeing on TV is on a delay. So guys are watching it on the screen so that they could record the stats, and they're feeding it to the broadcasters, and the broadcasters are in real time. And I was like, I can't believe this is the same thing where I'm sitting in my living room going, oh, well, look, they put a video game on TV. You know, like that was my first assumption of this. And I was like, no way. I mean, I have a tremendous respect for a lot of people in this league that I've come across already, because of the work and the effort that these guys put in so that we can see these games, you know, like we've been watching in the minors right now. There is so much that goes into these things that I think a lot of rookies don't realize.
Yeah, it is a lot. It really is. And I'm the same way. When I saw the first one, I flopped down in my comfy chair on a Saturday or something, and I thought, oh, look, a couple of nerds are broadcasting their video game. And then I'm listening, and I go, oh, wait a minute. And by the way, I don't think I've ever said this before. When I throw nerds around, I used to call my ex-wife nerd. It's a term of endearment. Okay? I'm like, I love you, nerd. I mean, it was just so when I say nerds, I am making fun. I was like, oh, a couple of nerds are doing commentary of their video game. And then I realized how many people were in chat. And I saw, and then a graphic popped up. I would go, wait a minute, that's not on that game. Wait a minute. And that's when that was that moment, that rabbit hole moment. It's like, what the heck am I watching? Right down the rabbit hole. I don't even want to think about doing stats. The idea, I mean, I don't know if you heard the interview with Charles the other day, but Doug said when he pictured me doing stuff with a computer, he pictures a caveman with a rock banging it against another rock. He's not far off. He is not far off.
It's no joke, really. Oh, you know, it is no joke.
Not up my wheelhouse, but that's okay. I've got enough to do with this.
Sure.
For those that don't know, Ross and I have spent a lot of time talking, so sometimes I have to pause and think about a question that I don't know intimately and come up with something else to ask him about. How about the draft process for you? I know some things, we've chatted about some things, but what you can chat about with our listeners How has the draft process been for you? I know your name's out there. People talk about you in several different ways. I've mentioned you on my show because of the other things you're doing. But how has your process been, chat with me about the draft?
It's been great, you know, and the only thing that I can say is for anybody out there in the minors who has not had contact with teams because they're sitting back waiting for teams to contact them, that's the wrong way to go about it. I understand that everybody's not, you know, a very outgoing salesman, you know, type person. So they don't know which way to go about it. But what I came across was that for the most part, just about every owner and GM in this league is real receptive to having a rookie reach out. And what is it made my experience a lot easier, because there are GMs and there's owners in here that had told me straight off the bat, due to their needs and what else was going on, you know, with their plans for the draft, that they couldn't touch me. But we started talking about other things, and, you know, I was able to pick their brain a little bit about the league and how to, you know, how they view things. And then they keep in touch, and you're also building like a friendship with teams that I already know are not going to have any interest in drafting, because I just don't fit their need. So it made the draft experience on a whole really great, because you're meeting people and you're finding out steps about the process. And because, like, when I listen to the podcast or the show that Eddie from Arizona and Alan from Charleston did, you know, that was great, just because anybody who watched that could see you literally have two guys who go about their business two different ways. They view things differently. They value things differently, but it's all in the best interest of their franchises and the league. And you start to feel that as you start talking to a lot of these people. And there are some really great guys out here that I've come across. Probably, you know, too many to mention, you know, with the, you know, with all of the, with the organizations. But I mean, obviously, you know, Slynn in Vegas, him and I have, you know, we've become very friendly. We've spoken, you know, voice chats as well as through Discord, and, you know, Gerald and Jeff in Louisiana, and, Andy in Vancouver called me to do a voice interview. And I've spoken to Eddie in Arizona. Like, again, he's another guy that, you know, his defensive line is full, you know, but he enjoys, you know, the conversations that him and I have had, you know, just about the league, about the game, and, you know, the passion for wanting to do other things in this league. And again, it's another team that just couldn't touch me, you know, but the experience in talking to these guys and the little things that you learn and pick up, it's really invaluable. So, I mean, if my two cents to any minors player meant anything, it was do not feel shy about reaching out to teams, you know, because you also start to find where you'd like to be, you know. And I'm sure every minors guy probably has a preference somewhere along the lines through relationships that they built or just whatever their reasons are, you know. And we all start to develop preferences and where we want to be and the guys that we want to be around. And, you know, you're not going to find that if you're just sitting around waiting for somebody to contact you as a minors player.
No, that is fantastic advice. And it's absolutely true. And I can echo it as well, because last season I talked to just about everybody I could. And they were always patient. I'd be like, hey, I'm sorry to bother you. And they're like, no, I got time. Let's, you know, let's chat. And we would... We've had some pretty in-depth conversations, and they explain things to me. And when you first come in, you're swimming a lot. It's like, wait, you do what? Explain progression to me. And I'm like, how did that, you know, all kinds of stuff. And so, yeah, it's absolutely true. It's the only way to really get yourself known, because, you know, you're looking at a sim on the field. You've got unfinished builds. You've got new coaches. You've got people learning the job. And they're not really looking at what you're doing in the minors necessarily and saying, wow, that guy, I want that guy, because, like I said, unfinished build. That's a that's a show, and it gives you guys a great experience and a preview. But who you are, the message I keep saying, you're more than the number by your name. The only way to put that forward is to put yourself forward.
Right.
Well, you've done very well. I know about that. I mean, I've had a couple of people walking, want to know, hey, what's Ross like in the locker room? One of the GMs, I can say, he's fantastic in the locker room, and he's got great insights as a scout, and he's been absolutely useful. He's really helpful all along. But I have a feeling you're going to do okay in the draft, so.
I got my fingers crossed, so I'm hoping.
Feeling good about it. Now, I know you're a Dolphins fan, which is really tough. It's really tough for somebody in New York. I mean, how long have you been in New York?
All my life. I was born in Brooklyn and then spent the majority of my life in Staten Island, a small borough outside of the city for people who aren't familiar with New York.
Okay. And yet, the Dolphins.
Wow.
Hey, where I am, if you're not a Seahawks fan, you're kind of a leper. And guess what? Yeah. I am not a Seahawks fan, so I'm against them pretty much all the time. You have a player that you, my earlier prospect profile, we were talking about players we resonate with. Mine was Ronnie Lott. That's why I chose number 42 in college, why I was wearing it last year. This year I'm wearing number 55 to honor my late brother. Do you have a player that, in your mind's eye, you're seeing that player when you think about yourself as a player?
Yeah, and I would go right to being a Dolphin fan. I think that Dan Marino, being the respected guy that he was in the league, how well and how great he played the game, but also the leader that he was for that team, due to the respect that he had around the league. That's what I strive for. I don't think I have any one of those things coming into this league with people yet, because they don't know me. Franchises don't know me. I just have the handful of friends that I've made in this league. But as I've spoken to, I've left messages for Cam, when he's put things out about, hey, wanting to hear from people, and the commissioner's always been, really great about telling people he wants to hear from them. The thing that I always say is the same thing is I plan on being around this league a long time because of my love for football and what this league can give to us as, people to be involved in football the way that it offers. I plan on being around for a long time, and I plan on being a name that people know in this league and for all the right reasons. Look, I could trash talk with the best of people. That's great. It's part of football. But, I want to be, when people hear my name, I want them to be like, yeah, I know that guy. And, oh, you want to know what? He did this, this, and this, and that was great. Or this was really cool. Or whether it was they had a question and they just felt that they could ask me, or it was just that I represent the league the right way, or I represent the franchise that I'm fortunate enough to be drafted the right way. And that's my ultimate goal, is to be around and be a name that a lot of people say, in this league. And listen, from the times that I've, spent, talking with you and all that stuff, you're a pretty modest guy, but you're one of those guys, I've never come across anybody, and this is, the truth. I haven't come across anybody who's ever had a negative thing to say about you, not that I've heard. So being able to have learned under you for these couple of weeks, and when I say, Coach Craven allowed me to do this, whatever stuff, oh, really? Because your name is something that resonates in this league with a lot of people. And that's what I want, So I want to be those types of guys that people talk about in this league and know it for the right reason.
Well, that's very kind. I appreciate that. I have been very blessed by what the league has given me. And I think probably what you're hearing is my gratitude for that showing through. And that's what the team is seeing when they look at me, if that makes sense. Because it's been really good. It's been a really, like I said, I've been very blessed. every step of the way. I was blessed to be with Vancouver. I was blessed that Charles got enough of me to bring me along, and that comes through. I haven't been perfect. I can think of a couple of interactions with people where I've let my annoyance come through, and but we're human too, so.
Right, that stuff happens. That's part of the community that we're in right here. Not everybody's going to agree. I mean, everybody views the same general chats, whether it's in the minors or the regular general chat, and you can see where people get on other people's nerves and all those things, and people chime in because they're reading and now they want to put their two cents in, and it's the wonderful world of Discord, but
if you spend time together, and I'm doing the air quotes, with people long enough, you're going to disagree. Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. You're coaching. We're just going to pretend you're a coach. What kind of offense do you want to run? You get to build the team. The team built the way you want it. You want to run. You want to chuck and duck. You want to, Christian Christensen's on record as saying throwing is the most efficient way, even if you're throwing a lot of interceptions. I think he's biased because he's a gun-toting quarterback. I personally like to pound their face off with the run a little bit, but you got to do what your team has. What do you want to do if you're a coach? What do you want to do?
I would say if the team was built the way that I wanted it to, like you said, I mean, if the team is built the way that I wanted to, I like the idea of a somewhat balanced attack, but more of a run-oriented offense. I would like the opportunity to be able to score some points and then be able to run the clock down and maintain that lead. And that involves, more times than not, making sure that the defense is built just as strong or stronger than your offense. Because especially in this game that we're dealing with, a simulated game. And you and I and the guys in San Jose have had those conversations where you see some really weird stuff happen in these sims. And, you're kind of like, I can't believe that just happened right now.
Yeah.
So, everybody's going to get the opportunity to score. I think scoring, from the games that I watched, it's the AI makes the game move along.
Yeah.
But defense is, defense is a really strong part of this game. And I would be more towards a, if you're setting the meter in the game, I would be, 51-49 run.
Okay. Still pretty balanced. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've got it right now. I've got on the coach on the game plan. I think I've got it 55-45 run to pass.
Yeah,
and I might have bumped it up to 60-40. I might have. But that's partly a function on how our team is built as well. I don't like putting an ace in a tough spot.
Right.
He's a good quarterback, but he can't do it all by himself. So.
And I think what, especially it being a simulated game, I understand the idea, because like I said, I've coached in real life too. And, as coaches, as as well as anybody else who's coached, you tend to think you've got something figured out and you want it to go your way. So, like I said, if the team is built, I want to be able to run the ball, or I want to be. And I think the mistake that what happens in real life, and especially can happen in simulating a game, is you try to force your style with maybe a roster or personnel that doesn't fit it.
Yeah.
So I think any good coach understands it's more or less probably better to, to play to the strengths of the hand that you're dealt than say, no, we're going to take a simulated game with guys whose builds may not fit what I'm trying to do, and we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to see what happens when people do that. I think that does happen sometimes. Well, and probably, because most of the people doing this stuff, and this is pure speculation on my part. I'm not going to pretend that I've got enough experience to know for sure. I think sometimes when you have a mindset about how you want to do things, that can cloud what you do. So, right. For example, if you want to run 60% of the time, you're thinking, I want to run 60% of the time. but your team doesn't quite fit it. You know, they're not quite there. And so you can't quite, you go, okay, well, I've got three good receivers. I am going to throw, but you're still too run focused in your head. You can't overcome that. And I think that's in a thing like this, as I'm sure you figured out already, the difference in regular coaching. Well, for one, I can't pull my quarterback over and say, if you throw it deep again, I'm going to shoot you. Because every time you do, you throw an interception. I didn't have that exact conversation, but I did tell a kid I was going to break his arm if he took the deep option every time on a play. and he laughed at me because he knew I was kidding about that part. It's like, I'm sorry, I thought it was open. It's like, there were three guys. He wasn't open. Yeah. But that's something you can't do in a sim, because I said, listen, his name was Austin. He doesn't mind. He's not listening. And if he was, he'd still laugh at it. I say, Austin, I'm going to give you a chance to throw deep. But if you trust me, when you throw deep, we're going to score. And it's going to look a whole lot better than what you're doing right now. And he goes, okay. And so we set him up. Well, you can't do that in a sim. You just got to figure it out. How to get the playbook to sort of kind of do that. And that's been the challenge for me to learn in coaching the minors. It is what it is. And hopefully it's not going to be too much of a challenge to learn when I'm coaching for real, as they say, not for real, but when I'm coaching Lone Star, because I want to make it through the season. I don't think Charles would fire me he's a pretty nice guy, but you never know. You just never know. How about let's put the spotlight on a few other people? I know you're watching. You got your finger on the pulse. You're paying attention. What are some other rookies that have stood out to you?
Wow. I mean, are we excluding our team, or is it just everybody?
No. No. We don't have to exclude our team. I mean, I'll tell you what. At least one, if you give me three or four, and if you can give me two, I don't care, whatever you want. Right. At least one has to be from a different team.
Okay.
But if all the rest are from our team, that's fine with me.
Well, sure. Well, I mean, it's easy to start with our team because those are the guys that we know the best. Right, exactly. And I mean, obviously, as you know, and I'm sure, you know, we're biased, of course, because we're in there. But I mean, our locker room is just tremendous.
And we're not biased at all.
Not at all. I mean,
that is 100% the truth, and I will fight anyone who disagrees.
Right, you know, it's and the reason why we could say that, you and I have had these conversations before, is everybody knows the season statistically that San Jose's having this year, and we are as upbeat as anything. Listen, nobody likes to lose, but everybody understands what the minors has meant to everybody, and we keep our heads up. You know, it's like, okay, great. What do we got to do to change for the next game? We got it. You know, and I don't view it as we're taking it lightly as a team. I think that guys care about it because, you know, we are all chatting with each other through every game, every play of every game. We're in that locker room chatting with each other, and you know, we really take it seriously. So our locker room is a great bunch of guys. And, you know, to rattle off a handful of them who I've chatted with and who have really developed some relationship with, obviously Ace, fantastic guy. Andre Krim, you know, he's a personality all in himself, great guy.
Yeah.
You know, and Andre's, you know, really great. Ryan Owens, you know, great guy. You know, him and I have, you know, chatted obviously in our locker room, some, you know, in the general with certain things, and you know, Ryan's a really great guy, you know. And so I would say right off the top of my head, you know, those three guys are guys that I've had, you know, interactions with, and are really going to bring something to whatever teams they go to just because of their personalities and you know, what they want out of this league. So those San Jose guys are definitely guys that, for what my word is worth or what my opinion is worth, those guys have impressed me as guys to be drafted on some teams. Outside of our team, there's a couple of guys. I've spoken to a couple of guys. I know Thomas Smith is a guy who keeps himself out there. I've mm-hmm. chatted with him sometimes.
Yeah.
Thomas is another great guy. He kind of, picked up the ball and ran with it when it came to those mock drafts, putting it out and, put out interviews to interview as many guys, he could and, to really further getting what we felt about ourselves and the league out there. And I thought that was great. Another guy that I think is really going to be someone who brings something really good to a team. He's really got it. I would say, I've seen guys that I haven't necessarily had direct contact with other than just chat, in and out. Jeff Gagne is another guy that's out there that has really been active. And, we've just chatted about, similar topics and stuff. And, I think that he's another guy that, really wants a lot out of this league. Just from what I get from reading, how he's involved in there. And, not a guy that I think would disappoint, anybody who drafts him.
I like Jeff a lot.
Yeah.
That's good. I want to plug Laura Hoyle again. I mentioned her in another show. She hasn't been on Locker Room a lot. She's quiet. But, again, had a little bit of a snafu with her player build at the beginning of the year, and she was way too small. And she was like the minimum she could be in height or something like that. So she messaged me one time. She said, she goes, I'm not going to get drafted like that. Give Dunson all the carries. I don't want to take something away from someone. And I bring that up just to show you that's a person that cares about her teammates above herself. And so, you're looking in the later rounds, Laura. You want Laura. She's a good pick. I don't care who you are. But we've got a lot of guys. I mean, I did a show with Adam Jones, really like him. I've done shows with a couple of the guys that you mentioned, Garrison Blue as well, is another guy I did a show with.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, and I literally would list almost our entire locker room. I mean, guys who just really want the most out of this league. I mean, Dustin Zech, Gary Clem, yes. Zach Haldorf. I mean, I could rattle off our entire team. And I mean, and look, there's other guys out there that are really impressing people. I mean, there are names. We all know the names out there of the people who are really making names for themselves one way or the other. There's guys out there. Michael Prococo is one. And, Art Vandelay is another guy that I see that he's always active out there. Scott Stover, right? I mean, everybody sees Scott, messaging in there. And again, he's not anybody that I know personally. I've been in a couple of exchanges with him, and but I'm always reading what everybody has to say out there about all of the different things. I mean, there's really a lot of great guys, and
no shortage there, and they have talents. They've got, I mean, I said in another show, I said if I were coming in now, I'm not sure I would get drafted, because these guys putting together these highlight videos and doing all this stuff again. Good. Me with a rock banging against another rock, that's the limit of my technical ability, so I'd be kind of toast. I'd be stuck just watching it, thinking that's really nice. I wish I could be involved.
That's me. I'm not very technical savvy there. I mean, I can do your basic functions on a computer and stuff. But again, that's why I try to sell myself and get involved in any other way that I can, because I can't offer those things. I mean, this video editing these guys do, and these videos, and people putting up things there looking like covers of magazines, and they're writing articles. I mean, that's great stuff. I mean, those guys, those guys are really intuitive about what's going on.
Absolutely. And interestingly enough, again, haven't made any secret of this in the past. Wasn't a fan of Johnny Pickler when he came in, but I am now. I wouldn't do it that way, but I enjoy the show. He kind of led the way in some of that stuff. I mean, he's the first one who came in. I don't know how you weren't in here when he first came in. One of the first things he did, what on earth is this guy doing? It was a magazine cover, about him. And probably my reaction to it was just it was something new and I didn't like it. I don't know what it was, but Johnny's, he's middle of the pack with his PR game now. He's the only one that has an actual PR team, but other people are doing stuff. Andre's done some goofy fun stuff. I've chatted with him a lot, had him on the show. That's not his name. He's playing a persona. He was joking with me the other day. He's become a WWE villain, almost. but it's fun. And he's got some off the field skills as well. So that's pretty fun. It's just an exciting time for the league, period. There's just a lot of things happening. I mean, when I came in as a non-contract, I think the FBF deal had, because it wasn't on at the beginning of that season. If you go back and look at season 13, they weren't on FBF. So that was pretty new, and in that space of time, we're sitting here talking about having highlight videos for people to play in the draft.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? That's fantastic. You looking forward to the draft? You looking forward to the? Are you going to have a webcam going so that they can look at you during the draft?
I wouldn't mind doing something like that. I was one of the people who sent a message to Cam when he had said to people to message him in regards to what he wants people to do and do all that, send me a message and let me know what's going on. I did. And, I hadn't, heard back from him, but I know he's gathering a lot of information for that. And for what it's worth, to have an experience like that, I mean, let's face it, we're only going to be drafted once.
Oh, come on. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I do once in a while. Once in a while, I think it would have been fun to go through the draft and to hear that happen, have that process. I don't regret anything. But I just think, it's one of those things you can look at and go, yeah, that would have been a nice experience. I am looking forward to being part of, to having been part of the process of putting together a draft board and everything. Charles has been fantastic. Charles and Wally both have just brought us all in and really made us part of the process. Almost everything we talk about, they talk to everyone else about on as well. I'm looking forward, and I'm not gonna try to pretend that I should have a huge impact on what we do, but it will be fun to go into the draft knowing exactly what we're doing, what we plan to do, and to watch that play out. I'm really excited about that. And frankly, I wish it was tomorrow.
yeah,
ready to get to that.
That's what I keep telling people. I feel like a kid waiting for Christmas here.
Right? Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I just want to get going. I just want to have it over and done with, and say, okay, great. And we all know where we're going, and now let's get to work. What do we got to do?
And even last year, I think that Doug and I, we might have just been chatting, but we might have been in voice chat. Doug and I do virtually everything together with the league. But we were just excited. I think we knew who our first, we knew who we were going to get. It was still exciting. You got that, it's like, get that guy. Oh yeah, they just said his name. Yes, Vancouver. and you heard what people said. A couple people said things. We're like, oh, that's it. We're kicking your butt next year.
Right.
You didn't like that. Whatever. It's part of the game. It's part of the fun. Do you have any? I'm gonna give you the opportunity to either plead the fifth or protect yourself, whatever you need to do. You've got something. But do you have any off the wall draft predictions that you want to share? I want to hear a dark horse candidate that you think is going to go. Let's just say first round. That will be a surprise. That's a pretty loaded question. I understand because you know we got people putting out mock drafts. They got all kinds of things going on.
I will say this. I don't know. My prediction, I guess, will be this. I don't have a specific player that I think is going to be, you know, the person that'll go in the first round. But what I will say, as kind of like an outside of the box general thing, is that I think that when these teams who need a quarterback are on the board, I don't necessarily think the quarterbacks that people are expecting to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if a Queen City or an Atlanta, if they were on the board and needed a rookie quarterback, take the higher check-in, more established, where like these mock drafts are saying, like based on check-ins and based in needs, I wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing quarterbacks that people may be thinking that person may have to be playing at a secondary position and they're a first round pick.
Okay.
So I think I think a quarterback selection could be a shocker to people to say they needed a quarterback and they took that guy. You know, I definitely think that's going to happen.
That's good. Well, on that note, and it doesn't have to be one of those quarterbacks, because somebody popped to mind right away that I thought I don't see his name often on my draft, and I'll put a pin in that and hold on to it. Is there a player that you think maybe is being overlooked that will prove to be a steal? And again, you know, I spend all my time saying you're more than the number next to your name, but basically I'm talking about, you know, a guy that people aren't paying a lot of attention to that could be quite a player, could be a good player.
I guess there's two facets of that. Are we talking about the player in the game, or are we talking about the individual?
Well, that's tough to separate, isn't it? I guess what I mean is, and what I was thinking of, what was running through my head when I was thinking about that, I was thinking about a couple of people that probably aren't going to get their primary position.
Okay.
Either because there's just too many at that spot, or maybe they're not wildly active in chat. Now, we don't know what they're doing behind the scenes. They may be locked in with someone and talking to them, and they land on their primary position. But regardless, because I really think that once we get to that legit third round, you're going to have you're going to have a lot of high-value people there. And this is not a... I'm not taking a shot at the league, but that news about moving the drafts up, I mean, like our third round became a second round pick, even though it's not, that borked a lot of draft boards. And I really think there's going to be some high value people sitting there in the true third round, and teams are going to be able to look at it. That also could have muddied the waters a little bit. And I'm picturing somebody, I'm going to say a name. I'm going to say Laura Harrell.
Okay.
She has decent value. She has good enough value, enough check-ins to become a running back in the minors. And we know those coveted positions, you had to have a fair amount of value to get those positions. So right. Laura becomes, but Laura, unless somebody is in contact with her, Laura may not get to be a running back. I know she would really like to play on offense, and isn't like wildly excited about defense. That's fine. So you could take Laura in the third round, for example, make her your number three wide receiver, or even your number two, and you've got a decent value individual at that spot. You know you're going to have quality locker. So that's the kind of thing that I'm looking at. Yes, I'm looking at the player, and forgive me for my long-winded explanation.
No, that's all right.
But I am looking at the player, the person, but I'm also looking at the value that they have and how, you know, that's the kind of player. There's always somebody in the first couple of weeks that everybody's going, whoa, is this an early candidate for offensive rookie of the year? Or even, you know, because they rack up a few. I mean, my player was defensive player of the week in week one.
Right.
Nobody saw that coming, least of all me, right? That was how they built me and all of that stuff. But I'm thinking of some players, again, like Laura, that have enough value to actually be a pretty viable player. So, again, a big, kind of a big, complicated, heavy question, but is there someone, when you heard me saying that, did someone pop into your mind?
Absolutely. I would say the first person that pops into my mind due to these position restrictions like we were just talking about, Connor Weston.
Great pick.
Yeah,
that I mean
the value between the check-ins, what they can be with progression, but being, I hate to use the words stuck at running back, because, you know, there are some needs, you know. Yeah. So I also wouldn't be surprised if one of these two or three teams that may need a running back take a Connor Weston in the first round. I mean, I also wouldn't be shocked because of the need and the value of the check-ins and for progression like we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But if people just like the... I mean, like everyone knows Fox Highwind is the highest ranked running back.
Right.
There are the Scott Johnsons in Annapolis and Ezekiel Love. Those are names that people are mentioning over a Connor Weston. But I think if you're talking about somebody who is not going to be able to go at their primary position because there may be two or three other names in front of them, and the excellent value that could be had in the third round, even though I'm sure that's not the round he'd like to be going in, there is some great value in Connor Weston.
Mm-hmm. That's a fantastic, and yeah, that is a fantastic pick. That's a good job. That's a good job. And that's Kevin Say comes to mind when you say that. Kevin Say comes to mind. I know I haven't chatted a lot with Kevin. I chatted with him. It's been several weeks now. But I asked him about what else he would like to play, you know, just informationally. And he said he just wants to play. He'd play anything. Well, there's another guy with good check-in value. But Connor Weston, to me, Connor Weston may be the top underrated guy because he spent all season as a non-contract in Florida's locker room. Pretty good pedigree. He's been in a locker room with a team that knows how to win. And Connor may get taken at running back by Florida. Who knows? I don't know.
And like I said, I would not be shocked at all. It's not. I'm not by any means saying that Connor Weston's got no shot at going in the first two rounds at his primary position. I just know that if there's only the two or the three, and again, people don't know what the plan is. I mean, obviously, the league kind of got shook up with Ray Bentley stepping away. Mm-hmm. So some people view it as, well, now they have a need at running back. And I know that team seems to be, you know, putting forth the front that their fullback is going to step into the situation, and he's the starting tailback now. So you don't know. You know, if there are two or three openings, we understand. I mean, everybody knows from the mock drafts and everything else, you know, Vegas needs a running back. If Mexico City does end up needing that running back, there are going to be teams that need him. But where do those organizations view a Connor Weston, be it the check-ins and the progression value that we're talking about, as opposed to a Fox Highwind or an Ezekiel Love, you know, or a Scott Johnson? So, you know, that's falls on the shoulders of those organizations, really, to, you know, really make the right decision and bring in the guy that's going to be right for their locker room. And from everything that we know about him, you know, just from conversations that, you know, have gone on throughout the league and in the broadcasts of his games and stuff, he's clearly a guy that, you know, is welcome in a locker room. You know, he's a personable guy. And so I would think that, you know, he's definitely an undervalued prospect for the draft. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Your last question of the day is going to be possibly the heaviest. And again, feel free to plead the fifth, whatever you need to do. And you and I have chatted about this privately. These guys, it didn't affect you a whole lot because of your position. But these guys that came out of retirement, What was your reaction when you saw that happen?
It was a little bit of mixed emotions. I don't think that I fall too heavy either way with this. I understand where everyone is coming from. And I hate to be as neutral as that on such a hot topic because, as people are judging here, that as this is unwinding, that, I could definitely be long-winded too. I could definitely talk as this one, so I would love to really elaborate on that. But I really do see both sides. I definitely saw the way that it was being talked about from the players, feeling like, hey, we're doing this, and now a draft spot was taken away. Mm-hmm. And
I can understand that.
I can totally understand that. But I also understand Cam's explanation and that being in the fact of, hey, it was a little unexpected, so there's nothing really in place yet to really protect against that. So if teams already have a guy that they know are interested in coming back, technically, I don't think it really takes a spot away, because I do believe that barring guys who have been gone for, let's say one or two seasons, if somebody just said after season 14 they were going to retire, and now they see how, for whatever reason, they just think that the league is growing, it's something to be hot again, look at all these minor league teams, I want to be part of it again, whatever their reason was to come back, if it was recent, well, that team was going to re-sign that guy, or that guy was going to get signed in free agency anyway. So I don't think he took a spot. It's just that we're focusing on the fact that he said, I'm retiring, and then changed his mind.
Yes.
Yeah. I've said that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I have a little bit stronger of opinion against the guys who may have sat out season 14 and just said, they retired after season 13 or even before. And just said, for whatever their reason was, they were retiring. And now they're deciding they want to jump back in. I don't think you should be able to re-enter the league, especially if you've missed an entire season, without some sort of a downgrade to the player. Just like real life and like what everybody talks about, you can't step away from football, especially for more than a year, and come back and be the guy that you want. I mean, if it doesn't happen in real life and we're emulating real life as best as we can with this league, you have to be able to make some sort of adjustment to those things. And I do believe it'll happen, going into next offseason. I'm sure the owners have heard enough from either their players or the rookies that they're talking to that, they're unhappy about that, And I think there's going to be big changes to this league, whether they're incremental. But I think the changes that will be happening will be big changes, because if the league continues to grow, you got more and more people and you haven't opened up spots.
Yeah.
So something like that is going to always be viewed as, well, you walked away and now I'm a new guy and now you took my spot. I can understand that. But there's too many things, like we were just talking about, undervalued guys, because we all know the rules about the first and the second round having to be primary, and now you've got guys, the quarterbacks and the running backs, and I get that argument. There's not enough spots for me, but I'm not allowed to be drafted before the third round. I can understand the contempt for that. Guys just want to be drafted. They want to go. So I think changes are going to come, but that retirement one is definitely going to be addressed sooner rather than later, because I think it's you don't want it to be something that hurts the interest in the league and starts to deter people from joining, because word starts getting around, hey, you're paying a subscription, but if somebody decides to come back that's been in the league, they're jumping ahead of you in the line. That's not going to bode well for the league.
No, it's a little bit different. Well, and I think you made all of those good points. In particular, I mean, Xander Gold, to me, didn't come back. He needed to take some time and think about it, but Xander played last season, and that's someone. Now, for someone that maybe didn't catch Xander Gold, didn't know anything about him, maybe they just joined and they came in, And he said pretty quickly, I think I'm going to retire and be done. So to them, they're like, Xander Gold? Who the heck is Xander Gold? You know, so that I understand that. Well, I appreciated, you said that you appreciated him. One of the things I appreciated was him saying he thought the decision to retire should be a weighty one. And I have misquoted him probably every time that I've said that, but it was in that spirit. Sorry, Cam. I know you're listening. And again, Cam does a great job. I think he's pretty transparent with this. As much as he can be, I think he's pretty transparent. He does have the lead and everyone's best interests at heart, and he has to. It's very easy to look at our individual situations. I mean, I was heated when I was watching. I was kind of heated. I wasn't mad at Cam. I was or anyone. I was just mad that it was happening. But like I said, when we were talking, our third round pick basically just got new because now it's a second round pick. And we had to adapt. Now it's to a point of feeling sorry for the potential third round guy, because we can't, unless we can maneuver, we can't take him. And we wanted him because of him, not because of his position. So, you know, it is what it is. But even then, I heard a lot of things that I appreciated from Cam, including saying we didn't anticipate this, we'll have to adjust. So things like that are going to adjust. I also understand Charles said he thinks as long as someone pays a subscription, they should be able to play. And there's some validity to that. And I think of my former teammate, for example, one guy that popped to mind, because life happens sometimes. And because this isn't real football, again, with the air quotes, I think of one of my former teammates, Craig Hearn, with those tight ends for Vancouver. He just doesn't have the time. Life is. He's got, like, I think he's working on a doctorate or something like that. Life is just too full. But if, like, two seasons from now, Craig can come back, well, Craig's paid his dues in the league. And so I would have a hard time telling Craig he couldn't. I don't know. Maybe I could say, well, you've got to take a little regression or something. That's one thing.
Well, sure. And I think that each individual situation also has to be viewed differently. Now, I mean, again, without diving into the specifics, but just the topic of it, like we mentioned with the, you know, with teams needing certain positions, everyone seems to know that Ray Bentley has stepped away.
Right.
Now, that's not a retirement. Right. And since there is circumstances there that are not just, hey, I don't feel like doing this anymore, so yes. You know, kind of like a half-assed retirement type thing, I don't think in a situation like that, that's a situation like that would require regression to your player. Mm-hmm. I think that there should be, you know, based on the circumstances, if guys have basically made a decision and said, listen, I'm letting the league know I'm retiring, well, then there definitely should be a regression. And I don't even care if it was only 1 year, because when you say retire and you're walking away, you're basically saying, I've had enough or I don't want to do this anymore. But I think that if you don't look at every situation and try to put a pin in everything before rules are announced, what you're going to find is that guys will walk away or just not involve themselves, but not say I'm retiring. Well, now what's the difference?
Wow.
You know? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Well, they never told the league they were retiring. They just haven't participated in two seasons. Mm-hmm. Because you don't want them to get around So I think that it's going to be one of those things to say that we're going to need some rules in place. You know, if you announce you're retiring, this is what the quote-unquote penalty is going to be should you want to come back, because it's only fair. Otherwise, a season goes by, we've got an off season, you're not resigning with people, we don't hear it, we're going into, you know, we're getting ready to the next season and you're not on a team or whatever and stuff, maybe the league contacts those guys and says, what's going on here? Because if you're about to sit out now, I need to know. We're going to, you know, like the NFL has like a reserve retired list, you know, listen, I didn't have any interest in whatever, the league is going to have, because if it grows, there's got to be situations that they foresee, And the one thing that I can say is that Cam does an excellent job.
Yes,
from what I've heard, from the conversations that I've been involved in that he's in, and what I've watched and read about, he's got a fantastic eye for foreseeing what may be coming.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think with a very large growth this year, it was very hard to see this issue coming, where guys were going to have a problem with guys who may have walked away wanting to be part of it again.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's no one's fault. And to Cam's credit, once again, you know, when I saw the first time he was presented with that question, his answer was, we just weren't prepared for it. We weren't expecting it. And yeah, that's the God's honest truth. So you can't expect any more than that. You just can't.
He's a very steady hand at the tiller, as you would say. I mean, he's a wonderful dog.
Yep.
Well, Ross, we're going to wrap this thing up because I've found that people don't listen to 9-hour podcasts sometimes.
I hear you, and we could just keep going, so I guess it's a good idea. you don't have to edit this.
Well, listen, man, you and I are going to keep talking no matter where you end up, because you're one of my friends in the league.
Yes.
And I want to keep in touch. And another great thing about the league, we don't have to be on the same team. And hey, maybe you're our first round pick, and we just haven't told people that yet.
You never know. I guess, you know, we could shock the world, and, you know, you never know what happens.
You never know. All right. Well, everyone, I want to thank you for listening. Ross, I want to thank you for joining us. This has been another Prospect Profile. Ross, why don't you stick around a little bit? We'll chat for a couple minutes after we wrap up here.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot, folks. Good luck, and God bless. And we are back from Coach's Corner with another Prospect Profile. Today I have Derek Majors, quarterback for the Madison Lynx. Derek, welcome to the show. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, first and foremost, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure. Glad to be talking to you. I've been a fan of the show since I've been a part of the league, and since I've been listening to you. So, again, I appreciate you for having me. So, I'm from Chicago, Illinois. I am in the northwest suburbs, around like an hour from there at this point. Right now, what I'm doing in my free time is training to become a professional football player overseas, actually. And I'm also studying to become a high school football coach sometime after I'm done playing. So that's the way. Then also spending time with my daughter, of course, whenever I got that time. So that's pretty much it right now. So.
Okay. Well, it's kind of an odd time in the world. We've got all kinds of stuff going, and our lives aren't exactly the way they're supposed to be, are they?
But I'm making the best of it, so.
Nah, you got to do the best you can. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you found the league? How did you end up in the SFL in the first place?
Well, like I said, I love to, you know, I mean, football is part of my life 24/7. And I always try to get into different types of formats of it. I mean, I play fantasy football, of course. Play the video games. I play Madden. And also, I was a part of a few other online simulation leagues that's not like the simulation football league, but, you know, you can take control of your own team and stuff like that. So I wanted something different. I started to look on Google to see what's out there, and then simulationfootballleague.org popped up. And then I definitely checked it out. I realized that you guys use the All-Pro 2K8. I used to always play that game on my Xbox 360, so I'm definitely familiar with it. And then once I actually saw what it was, I got hooked automatically. So I instantly signed up, and I never looked back ever since. So, yeah.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. You've got a pretty high value player, right? You've been checking in for a while.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, since I think since the last few weeks of season 13, actually, and I checked in through the whole season 14. And
okay.
I understand. Okay. So yeah.
Now, but you weren't on a team in, like, as a non-contract this last season.
No. I wanted to, honestly, I had a few opportunities for that, but I actually just wanted to, I wanted to do it fresh. I actually wanted to have my guy out there and, you know, start him from the ground up. I just didn't want to jump in and just, you know, I just wanted to, you know, go through the entire process just to see how, the feel of it and, uh-huh. you know, make my guy from the bottom to, like, all the way to the top. So,
you know. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. And with it, well, you kind of had your pick, so I guess quarterback is it, and that's what you wanted, to be doing. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give you the question.
And that's actual position I play, like in real life, also. So
okay.
It's only natural. I just, you know, stick to what I know.
Yeah. Well, no, I get that. Well, and I think I said one of my other jokes, I didn't stray too far because I played safety in college. So.
Oh, nice.
You know, so here we are. Safety, and now I'm playing linebacker. So
that was my actual high school position, playing linebacker.
Okay.
Oh yeah, man. Oh yeah.
Well, an awful lot of fun, frankly. In the middle of the action all the time.
Man, I to be honest with you, I mean, I just after that year, I was just like, you know, I cannot play defense anymore. Like, I just feel like it just took too much toll on my body, and I just, you know, I just do that. So yeah.
Yeah, it can. Well, I can't sleep on my right side from the shoulder injury. So, there's something to that. That might be also that I just got old. Who knows?
We all gonna have to go through it. So
it comes for all of us. That's for sure.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So are you even entertaining the secondary position idea?
You know, I just submitted one of them because I'm not actually trying to make that as my, you know, goal. I mean, to be honest with you, I assumed I'm going to be gone early, and I don't anticipate me being, you know, held around for that long during the draft. That's just me personally. That's just the way I feel. But I did put one out there at least. It was a safety or a cornerback. It was just a secondary, though. But, you know, just because I had to, I just did it that. But, you know, I'm trying to be a quarterback.
I can respect that. I don't have a problem. I've never had a problem with people like, this is the position I really want, and I'm going to go really hard for it. The problem that I always had was we had a few people come along that they just wouldn't even entertain something else. Like, it's not possible. I'm not doing it. And the way they did it, even, I think you could even say, I want to play quarterback or nothing or whatever and nothing. And be, for lack of a better word, reasonable about it, if that makes sense. But we've had a few that were really, they were almost hostile at even the suggestion that they do something else. And like, well, that's not winning you any prizes there, buddy.
Exactly. And, you know, I don't, you know, I'm not going to say I'm fully against it because I'm not, you know, I'm always going to take the best opportunity for myself. And if the situation presents itself where it's like, okay, well, I can hop into this team and play this position and I can make an immediate impact and we're winning and then, like, you know, it helps and it helps all around, then most definitely I'll take that opportunity out. But, you know, like I said, right now I'm just focused on being a quarterback. That's what my film is. That's what you're filming me on. So, you know, I want you to base, you know, your, you know, decision off that. As far as, you know, just because you want to make that pick. So I would like a guy that's been playing that position, that deserves that position more over me, just because, you know, of my value and just because of that pick. I wouldn't, that would just be a lack of respect for the other players that have more, that's more qualified than I am.
I hear you. Well, yeah, I'm all for it. Make your move. You gotta go for what you want. I'm all for it 100%. What has been, how have you felt? Now, you guys are doing pretty good. You're on a nice little roll in the minors.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about, how have you felt about your experience with that? Felt pretty good about it so far?
Oh, yeah, man. It's definitely been a learning experience. You definitely get that, you know, we faced that little adversity in the beginning of the season. But, you know, just this 5 weeks, past 5 weeks, man, it's been incredible. You know, the locker room, the guys in general, just in the minors in general, everyone, you know, they're, you know, it's just it's like such a competitive league, and as you can see by the standings, everything is so tight, and that's what I thrive off of, just the competition of it all. And, you know, the team that I'm with, you know, the coaching staff, you know, they've done a great job putting all of us in the position that we need to, you know, to make plays and get on this road that we're on. So I'm excited. You know, I'm happy leading into the last week being going that we're in the position to, you know, achieve the ultimate goal is winning that championship at the end. So we still have a lot of work to do. We still have a lot of ways to go. For the other three teams, that's going to be the playoffs. It's tough. We have experience playing them already, I believe, and that success. So, I mean, I feel good about it. I feel good going forward, but we just got to continue to play our game and, you know, just continue to, you know, do what we've been doing to be successful.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're in a good position, and you had a great game yesterday beating Ottawa. And I think that one cemented your status as a contender.
Yeah.
Lincoln may not like hearing this, but getting them beating Ottawa was a surprise. But you guys beating Ottawa, that makes sense. So,
and it's, like I said, it just, we knew what we brought to the table, and then we knew what, you know, what we had to do to, you know, win that game. So, I mean, leading up to the game all week, we were confident that, you know, we were going to come out to win. It was going to be a tough game. We didn't, you know, doubt that. But during the whole game, I already knew, you know, we was going to come out. Just the way that we started off high. I wish we would have finished high, but, you know, our defense did enough to, you know, get us that dub. So I'm happy for that.
I'm not sure the game will let you start out there, finish hot if you start hot. It feels like it anyway. It feels almost like there's a comeback mechanic to it. That's like, okay, this team's doing too well.
Yeah.
Now we're going to have something weird happen. How about your locker room? You feeling good about your locker room? You feeling good about the vibe in there? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, like I said, we're a group of hungry guys. Like, you know, starting off 0-2, you know, that definitely woke us up in a way. Like, the first game, we felt it as if it was a mirage. You know, that's not going to happen again. You know, we got the Kings out. The second game, we saw some better things, but, you know, we just didn't make enough plays to ultimately come away with it. But, you know, we fixed all that. You know, we ended up, you know, we know what we have to do. We know what we expect to go out there and play. So that's all we, you know, that's the standard for us. And like I said, we got a group of hungry guys that wants to win. They want to compete. They want to show what they can do. And we have a lot of guys that can, you know, bring a lot to the table. So, and as you can tell, if you watch the games, you definitely see that, you know, every single game. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How about outside of just being a player? What kind of goals do you have with the league?
I definitely want to get into every facet of everything that I can do into this league as far as broadcasting goes. I definitely want to be able to call a game. That's always been a dream of mine. Let's see, I want to be a coach, of course. But, and then ultimately, you know, before it's all said and done, just own a team. Just get that feel for that and just, you know, I want to be able to be a part of this league in every single way that I can. I don't just see myself just being there playing. You know, I want to be a part of this for a long time. So,
sure.
You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's got to make you attractive to teams. I mean, I've said this before on other shows. If you want to just be a player, maybe that's where your life circumstances are out of it, that's fine. That makes complete sense. But teams are also looking, and the league are looking for people that want even a higher level of commitment. It just, the more good people we have, the better the league is.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
Well, that's great. If you were to describe it, and realizing that we're a little bit limited sometimes in how we can build our quarterbacks in the SFL, but if you could completely model your player after any player, who would it be?
Oh man, that's tough. But the closest thing that comes to my mind is Aaron Rodgers. If I can make my guy into anything that Aaron Rodgers, to anything close to Aaron Rodgers, that's like, I'll take it, man. That's literally like what I want to be as far as quarterback goes. Okay. And it's just because the confidence that he like brings on the field and just his style of play, man. It just, like, I don't know. It's just something just so, it's just so attractive to the just before I could, like, the way that he plays out there. It's just, it's dope, man. I like it, and that's why every time I go out there, at least on when I look at it on the SFLM, I just feel like that's Aaron Rodgers.
That's what you're watching?
Right there. That's what I'm watching. It. So it's like, that's what I want. That's what I want to be, yeah.
I like it a lot, yeah. Yeah, I think that's natural. I mean, any sports fan has a player that they sort of resonate with, however that may be, and that makes a lot of sense. And Aaron Rodgers is a pretty good model for a quarterback.
Oh, yeah, man. No.
He makes it look effortless.
Most definitely. So, I wish he had the championships to show for it, but he got one. But we'll do that. We'll talk about that another time.
Well, and I'm not even like a Packers fan.
Me neither. To be honest with you, I'm not. I'm just an Aaron Rodgers fan. To be honest,
Well, and truth be told, I've sort of moved. I mean, if someone really presses me, I'd say I'm a 49ers fan because I've been. My dad and my brother took me to a 49ers game when I was 5 years old. There's pictures of me.
How was that? I bet that changed your life for the better, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, and my father was a college football coach. Yeah, I mean, football was in my life, my whole life.
So, where did he coach?
Well, he coached at like Division III, NCAA Division III school, a couple of Division IIs. The last one was the University of Sioux Falls Division II school.
I know exactly. I know that. Yeah,
South Dakota. Yeah. Won a national championship when they were still NAIA. And
that's the goal right there.
Yeah.
No matter what level you want to win that championship, that's the biggest goal. So, I mean, I applaud him for that. You say he won one.
That's right. And, he was a coach for 40 years. And so I just grew up with it where it was on all the time. And I mean, and heck, even my mom's the one that taught me how to throw a football, you know.
That's awesome.
Her dad, my grandfather, was a semi-pro baseball player. And so, yeah, we were around to it all the time. So, you know, when people ask me what my team is, it's like, well, it's the 49ers because, you know, all my life. I'm at the point now where I watch the games and just enjoy the games. And that Packers Super Bowl against the Steelers, right?
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a great game. And it gets overlooked.
It does, doesn't it? A lot of people, you know what? That's one of the most, that's so funny that you said that because I was just thinking about that the other day when I was talking to one of my friends about, like,
well, yeah.
Talking about the football, like, just talking about the season in general and just talking about it, like, things. And I was talking about that. Like, a lot of people, you know, they sit there and say, you know, Aaron Rodgers only got one Super Bowl, but that Super Bowl that was played, it was actually a great game. Like, it was actually a great game by both of those teams. So, I mean, I don't know.
Well, and you had Charles Woodson on that team, which I was a Charles Woodson fan from day one. I asked you who you see when you're watching yourself. Who I see, and this is part of why I wore 42 last season on my SFL player. That was my number in college. In high school, my number was number 7, but in college, I came into college and one of the seniors had 7. And I took 42 because I always, Ronnie Lott was my guy. And that's who I see when I'm watching myself, even at linebacker, I'm picturing Ronnie Lott. Now this year I'm wearing my late brother's number. I'm wearing 55. But in my head, I was always kind of picturing Ronnie Lott, even at linebacker. We always have a guy that we resonate with. And Ronnie Lott was the guy for me. When I first came into the league, I thought, oh, I'll play safety. And then I'm looking around and I'm going, well, you know, whatever teams need. And I really genuinely meant whatever teams need. I'm happy to have landed on the defensive side. But
yeah, most definitely.
I thought of something a little bit ago, and feel free to plead the fifth if you want. But I'm not trying to put you on the spot, which is why I say that.
All right.
When you saw these quarterbacks come back from the dead, so to speak. did that feel kind of like a gut punch? Because I'll tell you, the league went in thinking there were probably going to be 8 quarterbacks drafted, and they're bad quarterback, and there isn't now. How did that feel? Was that a hard thing to take, or do you understand it?
I definitely understand it, man. You know, I don't have any feelings towards it. You know, it's a part of it. Like, I assume it's a part of the league, and I assume a lot of people, you know, figured that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's just more competition. That's all it is, man. That's all it is. And then, you know, it doesn't matter where they go or where I go. You know, I just wanted the chance to compete and show what I can do for that organization. So, I mean, the better the competition, that's the, you know, it's whatever, mm-hmm. man. You know, I'm not going to sit there and worry about what they're going to do. I'm just going to focus on what I
do. Right, right. Well, that's a healthy attitude. I understand people who probably felt kind of hurt by it, but the reality is they didn't do anything wrong. Those are the rules we have in place. And, you know.
The only thing that I have a problem with, to be honest with you, is, I mean, a lot of people sit there. I mean, this is just me as far as being a competitor and just knowing what I bring, is the mocks. That's the only thing that I can have something to say about. But like I said, but other than that, I mean,
Well, you know, it's funny. Something else, I'm repeating myself that I said on a different show, but I at first I thought, oh, that's not right. That's not right. And I even talked to a couple guys, just guys that I knew, and I said, hey, actually, you know, I think so and so's going to happen. But then I was sitting there going, these guys are actually putting in a pretty good effort. Boy, are they putting together. I mean, some of the stuff they've done along with it has been really good. And so I just enjoy that. And I'm barely reading the names on there.
As far as that goes, I enjoy when they come out. You know, I always love reading the mock drafts. Yeah. It just, I'm impressed how they bring it out. You know, you can just do it as far as plain and simple, but as far as they put as much work as they put into it, I mean, I commend them for that, most definitely. Yeah.
But yeah, to not see your name in the right place.
Oh, I know that's BS. I know that's what it is. It's whatever for that. I just say, okay, watch Wednesday. They're going to put me on that board.
Yeah, I'd feel a little, I would feel it. If it were me, I would feel that a little bit. I'd be like, oh, no, you didn't.
It's all good. Like I said, I'm not in all good spirits. I know what it is. And, you know, we're having a good season and I'm just ready. Mm-hmm. I'm just happy right now. It's all good.
Yeah. Well, here's another question for you. And again, feel free to plead the fifth. If you're not feeling great, well, let me preface it a little bit. Have you been having conversations with teams?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Most definitely. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. If you came to a situation where you weren't getting quarterback, and frankly, there's a lot of good candidates, but I feel like you ought to be a really strong candidate for it. If you're not getting quarterback and you're not feeling great about the prospects that you have, do you think you'll just drop back into the minors and go at it next season? I mean, we could have two more expansion teams. A lot happens in a season.
No question. Question, dude. I've been thinking about that. You know, like, I look at this as a business. I mean, everybody should. So, like, it's as far as that goes. And if I know that, you know, that all these teams doesn't value me as a player that I believe that I am, then it's, you know, it's whatever. You know, I'll just go back to where I know that I can make a comeback. And being on another year in the minors, that's not a bad thing. You know, we have a great coaching staff, and if I assume that the guys that don't get picked up, they're going to come back as well. And let's just say we do win that championship, you know, we can make another run for it regardless. So, you know, like I said, every opportunity is on the table. I really don't, you know, I'm not tuning anything out. It's just, like I said, it's just whatever's best for my situation.
Okay. Yeah. Well, hey, I respect that too. Frankly, I'm impressed with that. Hey, listen, you've already shown, because like you said, you started the process before last season started. It's not like you just got here and you're asking for something that frankly you haven't earned yet. You started the process a while back, so I can respect that a great deal. I like it a lot. Is there a team that you've been looking at that you would like to join?
Honestly, any team. Okay. Like any team that I'll say any team that takes a chance on me, you know, I appreciate that for them. But the one team that I've been looking at that could be a good opportunity that I could land at, and I think that is a great fit, is St. Louis. you know, that's definitely one of the teams that I feel like, you know, we can definitely work with each other, or we can do well with each other. And, you know, that's one of the spots I feel as if I don't get it to any of, like, the Louisiana team or anything like that, then that's definitely a spot that I can see.
Well, yeah, St. Louis, I like St. Louis a lot, I feel like. And their defensive coordinator is really good. I think they're in a good position. And with all the people leaving, it's an opportunity to build again. Now, unfortunately for St. Louis, they've been building for a while, but I think they've got momentum.
Most definitely.
And yeah,
and then they made the playoffs last season, so that's something to build off of as well. So
yeah, they did, and their defense is mostly intact, I believe. I could be wrong on that, but their defense is mostly intact. That was a good defense, and that's for a rookie quarterback. Come in and do that, get to build with other people. I mean, you're talking about virtually all of the offensive positions. That could be really exciting. That could be really exciting.
That's definitely what I've been – hey, you just took it off the web at the top of my head.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I that's a good pick. You're no dummy.
Trust me. You probably won't see me a lot in the chats or anything like that, but I'm definitely studying. I'm definitely watching. When I come on and I want to talk to you and let you, I want you to get to know me, and I want everybody to know that I'm just not, you know, I'm here and I'm watching everything. So it's most definitely, man. I do my homework. So you're just not about to, getting anything here.
Yeah. No, I'm impressed, man. I mean, you clearly are doing your work, and I appreciate it as someone watching from the outside. That's pretty fantastic. Well, and I thought it to say, when you said that you were willing to go back to the minors, it's not like you have to put everything else on hold at that point. You can be doing other things with the league while you're doing that. So that's not a horrible thing. I don't want that to happen to you. I want to see you play. St. Louis, put it on the board right now.
Trust me, I want to play. I want to play as well, but, you know, like I said, the team got to fall in love with me, and if the situation plays out, then, you know, if that team loves me, then most definitely I'll be there. But Madison Leagues, that's a great team to be a part of, so I'll definitely be a part of it.
All right. Well, I don't know how much pull I've got with St. Louis. I don't even know if they listen to the show, but I'm looking at you right now, St. Louis. Make it happen. Let's make it happen. This is your guy right here. Derek, hey, no problem. No problem. I want to thank you for coming on the show. You've been a great interview. You are welcome to come back anytime. With all the off-season stuff, I've been busier than I anticipated, despite being unemployed. You're welcome to come on. I want to do like a rookie roundtable. Is that something maybe we can get you on that at some point?
Okay, awesome. That'd be awesome. I would love to join that.
Okay. Another guy you might want to look at, Dave Axis, who's done a couple of shows. I don't know if you saw that thing he did with Johnny, but Dave.
Yeah, I'll be watching that as well. Yeah.
Okay. Dave is actually going to be doing his own show. That's not supposed to be Johnny's show. They're doing it on his channel, and that was just to give Dave a little traction. But Dave's going to put together a show. It's going to be a little bit different format than this, more of a live thing, and I think it's going to be a good show. And I mean, you've heard Ashley Jackson's shows and stuff.
Yeah.
And AJ, she's the reason, you know, I love her. She's the reason that I'm doing this. I just got inspired from being on her show. And so
I've been on the show a few times already as well. So
yeah, I've heard you. I listen to it. Okay. So you like Ashley does, do you have any last words you'd like to? I'm not going to ask you to sing or do any of that stuff.
No. I just want to give a shout out to all, you know, my whole teammates, coaching staff, the whole organization, the Mets. We did a, you know, fantastic job on Wednesday, and but, you know, we still got a few more games to go, so we can't lose sight of what we, you know, the ultimate goal. And shout out to the whole SFL in general, man. This is a fantastic league, and I'm glad to be a part of it. And I just can't wait to draft day. I can't wait to put on that pro league uniform and get out there and start making plays. So. I appreciate you for having me. Like I said, of course, so anytime that you want me, let me know, and then I'll definitely make some time to be on here.
Sounds good. You'd look good in green. I know that much.
All right. Well, this has been Prospect Profile with Coach's Corner. Thanks for joining us. Good luck and God bless, my friends.
Thank you.